This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Hour number two of the Blitz starts now. Live here on FanRunRadio.com. Head over to the live link. Hit that at the top of the page. That's our live stream. If you want to watch Periscope, see all of Charlie's crazy reactions, head on over there. Facebook Live and at Twitter at Fox Sports Knox. Now, as always, you can download the FanRun radio app today. Carry us wherever you may go. FM 1057 WKGN AM 1340. Really getting the talks going about this Tennessee football team in the fall camp. Really getting heated in here. Been talking the offense, ranking the quarterbacks, predicting the starters and the backups. Now let's talk about a little bit about the defense, guys. Some of the biggest questions going into the 2021 season about this Tennessee Vols defense. Excuse me. Obviously, the depth at linebacker. That's something I'll be watching. But I'm going to be watching who is going to separate themselves and who is going to be a leader on this defense. Generally, you're good teams, you're great teams, and historically, teams in Tennessee's past have always had that leader, whether it's Eric Berry and Al Wilson, Leonard Little. The list goes on and on of the guys who have separated themselves and really stuck it out, a Deion Grant. Who is it going to be on this team? Will it be Alante Taylor? Will it be...
Will Juwan Mitchell come in?
Juwan Mitchell, will he come in and just, you know, the transfer from Texas, can he be a guy that really leads this team? Or will it be a guy like a Latrell Bumpus, one of the elder statesmen? Who is going to be your leader on this defensive roster? I think it's going to be a guy like Alante. I think he'll be a guy that really commands a presence on the field. We really like him. He's a fan favorite. I think he's going to have to be one of those guys. And I would agree with GP3, although he's a newcomer, I think Juwan Mitchell is going to step up.
I think we're all overlooking Trayvon Flowers.
Okay.
Trayvon Flowers is a senior on this team now. And he's had, you know, health issues, but he has proved to be a very talented defensive back. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, with a full offseason, with him being healthy and being a part of this team, he's a guy that could really step up and have a good year. Our secondary looks a lot better than I think people are giving it credit for. Jalen McCullough played well. Alante Taylor, obviously, your senior corner. And then
Warren Burrell.
Warren Burrell and Theo Jackson, not bad options. Danico Slaughter got some playing time, too. I don't feel awful about the secondary by any means.
I agree with Charlie. I think it's the defense as a whole, I think, is getting overlooked by a lot of people. But, I mean, I've said it time and time again. There's talent still left over on this roster. Just because we lost a lot of big names doesn't mean that there's still not talent there. Alante Taylor, he's, you know, everybody knows what he can do. Jalen McCullough, I think he's going to show out. Trayvon Flowers, like you said, had it not been for injuries, I think he would be one of the favorites to come into this season as the projected leader of the defense. There's talent there. It's whether or not they get coached up properly and run a scheme that they can actually play, because I think that was their biggest downfall with Pruitt was he was used to running defenses with nothing but five stars, and he could make it complex, and you know they'd be able to do it because they had the talent differential. You saw them for the most part when Tennessee played lower tiered teams like FCS schools, the defensive schemes worked because they were that much talented. But he was trying to run schemes that wouldn't work against similar competition.
Oh, I think his biggest thing is what Pruitt wanted to implement both offensively and defensively. Was very reliant upon your front seven. Defensively, you know, your defensive linemen specifically and your offensive linemen. And those are the two hardest positions to rebuild because, you know, those are the positions where young guys have a hard time being able to play and compete at the SEC. That's why we've seen other schools that have had new coaches and been more successful quicker, like Arkansas, for example, because they weren't as reliant on their defensive line, their offensive line, and they were more willing to throw the ball around. but that's besides the point.
I mean, you look at the front seven, too. I still don't even think we're – I mean, we're not deep, but I still think there's talent there. You still got Tyler Barron as one of your edge rushers. You got Roman Harrison, Byron Young.
Morvin Joseph.
Morvin Joseph, who I mean, I'm high on him coming into the year.
Dejon Terry from Kansas.
Yeah, Aubrey Solomon's back.
Byron Young, the transfer there.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think the defense is bad by any means. Now, they're not deep, and I think that will hurt them down the road. But, I mean, there's still talent there. They just got to get coached properly.
The more I look at this roster, the more excited I get for this season. I do think that the talent is there at the top of the roster. You know, what separates us is depth, and we don't have competitive depth, especially on the defensive side of the ball. So that's where things could really, you know, start to go south for us this season is how healthy we're going to be able to stay, how much the guys at the top of the depth chart are going to be able to play, because we can't get past that.
Yeah. Talking about the defense, defensive coordinator Tim Banks took the podium yesterday, and he had a lot of things to say. We need to talk about that as well. He was asked about, you know, really about the defense in itself. What kind of defensive scheme? He said, "Well, I wouldn't tell you if
yeah, well,
if I knew."
No, that's good.
Yeah, he was like,
"That was my favorite."
I loved it.
Question of the day is, yeah, the reporter asked, "Hey Tim, I know that you run
a
run a multiple defense, but have you decided on your base yet?"
And he said, "I wouldn't tell you if we had."
Yeah, you think Tim's just going to be like, "Well, actually, we plan on starting most games in a 4-3 wide." Yeah. With the defensive line shifted into a three tech and a wide nine.
No, we're going to be multiple. I mean, I don't think that's a secret. I think at the end of the day, when you're going to see two backs, multiple tight ends, one week we may see all empty backfields. So, yeah, it's going to keep it close to the vest. And like you said, like obvious answer there from him, not just going to give it away. But he was also asked about Juwan Mitchell and whether he was relieved that Tennessee now has more depth at linebacker. He wanted to say, it's never a relief until we get it going, but we're excited about him. Obviously, when we watched him on tape, he was a kid that see ball, get ball type of guy. A guy that relished in contact but is also able to play in space. We're excited. And from everything we understand, he's had a really good camp in terms of his level of conditioning. Obviously, a guy that's been in the fire. I think it's eager to see how we do it here. I think he's really eager to get this thing going tomorrow, so I'm excited about him. So, but his emphasis talking about the nickel star position and Tennessee's candidates for that spot, he said, yeah, that star position, it's super important because I think that guy has to be versatile. He has to be tough enough to be able to play the run, but also has to be athletic enough to be able to match up against some wideouts. On top of that, depending on schematically what you're trying to do, he may have to have some different drops, so he's part linebacker, part defensive back. So it's critical, to be quite honest with you. Talked about guys like Theo Jackson comes to mind. Obviously, Theo's played some snaps right here, and as Charlie just said, Danico Slaughter. He's another one that was limited a little bit in spring, but we thought we'd seen enough flash from him that he would have an ability to play there as well. So, a lot of good praise from the defensive back. I do think you guys are right. Some people are overlooking this defense. And I do think our depth in the secondary is pretty damn good.
I'm comfortable with that depth.
Mm-hmm.
But in the front seven, I mean, I guess even the defensive line, now that you did add some of the pieces you did this offseason, there is a little bit of depth. Linebacker, there's not, especially in the middle of the field.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm getting excited. I'm really starting to get excited, get a little maybe too optimistic. Someone might have to talk me back a little bit after this.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm getting up there with you, and we don't agree on a lot, but, like, the more I look at the roster, too, it's getting me – I might end up changing my projections.
You also guys like Kamal Hayden in here and
transfer.
Forgot
from
about him. Yeah, I forgot about him.
Transfer from Auburn. He talked about him and also Brandon Turnage says I think their backgrounds are both from a corner perspective. But again, as we get into camp, we'll get a chance to legitimately evaluate those guys. I think we'll know more in terms of where they're playing.
Oh man.
Yeah, forgetting. I mean, I think defense.
Oh man,
pretty good.
I'm getting excited. I feel we spent most of this offseason
kind of
talking,
the
yeah, well, just in general, talking about what went wrong, what we lost, who underperformed. But now, you know, we're starting to look at the other side of things. What do we have right now? Where are we going? And hop on the hype train, guys. Buy some hype coin.
I like it. Let's get that hype coin. On the biggest priority for Tennessee's defense early in fall camp, based on his assessment after spring practice, He said, well, it's two things. A, what does our recall look like based on those 15 practices we had and now the 16 going in, and what does that look like? Do they still understand the base and fundamentals that we put in? And then the second thing is creating the depth. We need to find out who are our top guys and how do they fit. Again, as everyone has noted earlier, we've got a couple guys that are new to the program. We've got to find out in a hurry now how they fit. I like it, man. I like it. He said that how much defense he has installed this spring compared to what he will have this fall. I will say we will put it all, we'll put in all of our base fundamentals, our base defense. Excuse me. Now you start to get into more of your sub packages and different things of that nature going into the fall. Yeah, man. Depth and attack. That seems like that is the name of the game for this Tennessee defense. But like you guys say, we spent a lot of, you know, post-Pruitt, pre-Heupel of what went wrong, where to go now. And we also spent a lot of time just looking at Heupel on paper saying, well, they score a lot of points, but this is the SEC. How is the defense going to be? I think there might be less fret from the defense than there will be for the offense moving forward. I mean, of course, there's some answers and some questions. There's some questions for this defense out there. And, yes, when they play, that's when we will know. But at the same time, look on paper, man, the amount of transfers they brought in, the experience, this Tennessee defense may not be that bad.
Yeah, I mean, from the national media at least, you always see them talking about how many people we lost. Oh, mm-hmm. They lost more players than any other team. They don't talk about the players we brought in.
Mm-hmm.
Or the fact that a lot of, like, I mean, yeah, we did lose guys like Henry Toto and Keyshawn Lawrence, you know, high-profile guys. But a lot of the guys we lost, too, weren't the big profile guys that they weren't going to make a difference regardless. I mean, it's hard to say that we got better at defense because I don't think that's fair, but I don't think we got as worse off as a lot of people try to make it out.
Yeah, I don't think we're as bad as we thought we were. I think we're a lot better than what we thought we were on the defensive side of the ball. And I think that a lot of that came with just knowing that Heupel's teams put up a lot of points, and he came from UCF. And everybody graded him on that. Like, well, what is he going to do when he comes to the SEC? He might be able to put up some points, but how's the defense going to be? And that may not have been as fair. So, hey, that is all of fall camp notes and previews so far. We'll continue to talk about that day by day. They're out there today. There'll be another press conference maybe going on.
It's ongoing currently.
Right now. Yeah, there's another press conference.
First
right
thing
now.
They asked Heupel was, have you named starting quarterback?
Of course.
No.
Of course.
Day one.
Of course. So we might have some sound for you there as we end the show. But on the other side, let's go ahead and get into our NFL preview. Today is the NFC South. We're going to be knocking these out. We'll knock out two tomorrow as we get ready for that Hall of Fame game between the Steelers and the Cowboys tomorrow night. Keep it locked here on Fan Run Radio. This is The Blitz, and this is Fan Run Radio. Welcome back to The Blitz. Rolling along here. Josh Heupel's on the podium. I understand, first question asked, have you named the starting quarterback? No.
What if he came out, though, and just said, yeah.
Yes, and I'm not going to tell you.
I wouldn't tell you even if I had named
one. Even if I had named one, I ain't going to tell you. Sorry, Mija.
When do you think we're going to know who the starting quarterback is? The week of the first game?
So fall camp lasts how many weeks? 2 weeks?
No.
Three?
Is it 3 weeks?
Three and a half, maybe?
It's 3 weeks, and then you have regular game week practice leading up to the Thursday game.
I say that we will know a starter by the end of fall camp, before going into the week one game practice.
Yeah.
I think we know the last week of fall camp, it's either leaked or maybe not leaked. It's told to us that this person's going to be the starter. They have earned it.
You know, especially with media being back at practices this year, too, it's harder to hide that.
Yeah, I think we'll know. I think we will know at the end of the last week of fall practice.
I still think there's a chance it goes beyond that, though. It could be one of those things where, you know, on the first depth chart that gets released, I guess on the Tuesday of that game week, it'll be
Joe Milton or
Harrison Bailey or Brian Maurer.
Jeremy Pruitt loved the oars.
the oars are the worst.
No, see,
he would give you an oar, but it was always going to be JG.
Yeah, it'd be like Jarrett Garantano or
JT Shrout or
Brian Maurer.
Brian Maurer.
It's like we know
or
it's going to be
Harrison
JG.
Bailey.
Yeah, no, I'm in the opposite camp as you guys are. I think it's going to be sooner than later.
So you think like in the next week or so?
Yeah, I think like next week I think is when we find out. I think he's just one of those guys. He wants to find out his starter. That way he can start preparing him. It's hard to, you know, get a guy ready if you're rotating four guys.
I was just saying, like, I kind of could see that too, because you kind of want your starter to have that mindset that I'm the starter too.
Yeah.
Like, to already be established for not only for the starter, but for his teammates as well on that side of the ball. Like, for them to know, like, hey, this is our guy. Let's rally around this guy.
I 100% agree. I think that's the best way to do it. You know, it allows the rest of your offense to start to solidify.
You need that hierarchy.
Yeah, which the problem is it's harder to back off of that if that quarterback plays bad.
That's the point.
That's the counter to it is you better make the right decision. You better be very comfortable
if you
in
make
decision.
The early decision. Yeah.
Well, and as long as you
I
don't
think
make...
that decision, the decision could potentially be delayed because Joe Milton hasn't practiced with this team.
Well, I think as long as you don't make some outlandish promises like Bush did, where he promised everybody they were going to be the starter, it's.
Did he do that? No, I guess he did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that's.
He did do that.
Ugh, gross.
That's botch.
I wish we had JT Shrout still. When I heard you say that name, it made me think, like, man, I really did like
where
JT.
Where did he go to?
Colorado. He's in the Pac-12.
Fine, yeah, you got it now.
Is he starting?
I think so.
Probably. So is JT Shrout and Garantano going to start for their respective schools?
Do they play each other this year? Oh, please tell me they play each other this year.
They probably do.
They're in the same conference,
right? I mean, they're both in the Pac-12, but...
The Pac-12 doesn't play everybody, though, do they?
Right.
But they're both in the Pac-12 North, aren't they? I think Colorado and Washington State are in the same division.
Well, they'd play each other. That's pretty funny. I hope so. I hope they're both starters and they get a chance to play each other.
I'm looking up the schedule currently.
But yeah, I think you guys make solid points there. It is it's a great thing to already have your starter entrenched and to know. So, like you say, create that hierarchy. And also so the rest of the team knows they can rally around them. They can have that mindset going into the last couple of weeks of fall camp. And then you can, I would say, it's easier to prepare the last couple of weeks of fall camp, too, with an established starter.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like that guy knows, like, he's running with the ones. The offensive line knows. They can. The wide receivers can have a better rapport with that quarterback. I'm with you guys. I hope that it comes within the next week, but I just feel like it may not come into like the last week of camp or something.
There's a difference too in the decision versus like the actual announcement.
Yeah, which I was gonna say too. Like,
oh yeah,
they might let them know internally without letting us.
You're
know.
A guy, yeah, exactly. Without putting it out there for the rest of the media and you know on a depth chart per se, but it might be within the locker room that everybody knows that this person is the clear cut starter.
Side note. Colorado does not play Washington State, so now our only hope is that they meet in the Pac-12 championship game.
Man, that sucks.
But did you guys know that this game is a thing that's happening this year?
What game?
Colorado and Texas A&M are playing at Mile High Stadium in Denver.
Never knew that.
Did not know that.
Why does that exist? Why is that a thing?
I don't know, but I'm going to watch JT Shrout in that game.
I'm excited for that game.
What
it's
week is that?
September 11th.
Oh, I was hoping it was going to be later in the year so it would get cold.
Also, the Colorado Stadium is named Folsom Field, so that's interesting too. Did not know that.
Folsom Field. Folsom County Prison.
Folsom Prison Blues.
I hope JT Trout does well. I hope Garantano does
well. I hope
they
both do well, just not well enough to make me miss Garantano.
There is a lot of dislike for Garantano here in these Knoxville circles.
It is what it is.
It is what, yeah. I mean,
was he a nice kid?
Was he a good nice. Person? Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, was
he a horrible quarterback? Yes.
Was it his fault?
And that's fair.
That
to
they
say,
kept
I
putting
think,
him
I
out
mean,
there.
It's not. Yeah. No, it's not
no,
his fault.
No, it was not his fault.
He tried. I feel confident that he tried the very best he could.
Oh, I do too. I don't think he ever gave up. I mean,
he played through injuries. He took absolute beatings.
We saw during his.
I have a lot of respect for him.
During his second year with Pruitt, when I think they beat Missouri to get bowl eligible, how emotional he got.
Right.
I mean, the guy loved playing
for Tennessee.
He loved
Tennessee, yeah.
He just wasn't teammates. Good.
Yeah, just was not.
It was not his fault that they kept playing him.
And, yeah, it wasn't anybody's fault but the coaching staff. They kept willing him out there when he wasn't the guy for the job. 865-546-8200. Hey, we just wanted to wrap up quick Vol coverage there. On the other side, we will jump into the NFC South preview where we have more time, break it down team by team, give you our predicted winners for that. We even got some other free agency news and football news on the way out today as well. Even some MLB breaking news. So keep it locked here on Fan Run Radio. Welcome back to the Blitz, live here on Fan Run Radio, FM 105.7, WKGN, AM 1340. Charlie's lost it. He's lost it. It's time to go ahead and get to our NFC South preview, though, as we'll break it down team by team, see where these teams stand compared to last season, our predictions. Charlie had an interesting prediction last year. NFC South. He said that the Bucks were going to go 8-8 and that they would not even win their division. I believe it wouldn't make
well,
playoffs.
Well, they didn't win their division.
Oh, yeah, okay. I guess that was true. That they
so really, I was like 50%.
You're kind of halfway right.
Yeah, halfway right.
That they wouldn't make the playoffs and that Brady was not going to be able to mesh well with his teammates.
I didn't think Brady would be a good fit for the offense they wanted to run.
Yeah, no, you said that.
Because I thought, you know, Godwin and Mike Evans were both at their best when being targeted down the field, and Brady wouldn't be able to throw a good enough deep ball still, which, to be fair, he went on like a 6-week streak in the middle of the season where he didn't complete a pass down the field.
So you were like kind of right about the season, but then at
and
the end
I was
they
kinda right, and then I was kind of right about Tom Brady like really not being all that great last year, but I guess I underestimated how good that defense was going to be, and Tom Brady kind of heated up at the end just
he
enough,
did.
I guess.
It did. The last couple of games of the season, he heated up.
I still can't believe the Bucs won that Super Bowl. I guess it makes sense.
They backed in. They should have got beat by the Packers, but that's neither
defense
here nor there.
Defense wins championships.
Should have got beat by the Packers.
Yeah, with all the turnovers that Brady had. Yeah.
The Packers should have won
that
game.
They should have got beat by the Washington
and then
football team.
The Phantom P.I. on third or fourth down, whatever it was, that saved the Buccaneers.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, let's go ahead and get to it. We got the Buccaneers, the Saints, the Panthers, and the Atlanta Falcons.
All right, starting with the Bucs. Simple question. They return all 22 starters.
Yeah, nasty.
Can they repeat?
Super Bowl? No. No, I don't think so.
It's
division?
So,
well, they didn't win the division last year, but I guess that's a different conversation.
It's so tough to repeat as a Super Bowl champion. I will also say no. But at the same time, I think that they win their division. I mean, you have a new quarterback in New Orleans, whether it's Jameis or whether it's going to be Taysom Hill. We still don't know that yet. The Panthers have Sam Darnold. I don't put any thought into that. That's just me. And the Atlanta Falcons just seem like they have a lot to overcome. And who knows if Matt Ryan's even going to be their quarterback for the next couple of seasons. So I don't think they will win that division. So I think they will win the division, bringing back all 11 starters. I think they'll be pretty damn good. I think it's going to be really tough to repeat as Super Bowl champion because that is so tough. Like, that is one of the toughest things for any team to do. I mean, we've seen the Patriots do it, but they had some pretty impressive teams during their run when they were able to do it. But it's very far in between that it happens.
How close will they get, you guys think?
Are they doing the extended playoffs again, or is it back to –
Oh, no, that's just the new normal. That wasn't COVID-related.
Yeah, that's just how it's going to be now.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm getting the MLB mixed up.
I think they get back to the NFC Championship game. I do.
I think they get I'm going to say they get bounced in the divisional round.
Okay.
I think at best they lose in the first round of the playoffs.
Okay.
I guess, like, this isn't going to go well probably again, but I'm going to double down on the Buccaneers. I don't think they win the division.
Who is winning the division if they're not?
Oh, we'll get there. I don't think they win the division. I do think they'll have a they'll probably end up as a wild card. Maybe. I think they'll be right around 500. Maybe a little better. Well, obviously better than 500 or worse than 500 because there's no more 500. Wow. But yeah. I mean, we saw last year, like, they won a lot of close games. Their defense really pushed them.
Are you about to pick the Falcons today to win that division? Matt Ryan and the bounce back. I don't know this. I just, like, sometimes I can feel what Charlie's thinking because I sit so close to him.
You got some telepathy going yeah. on over there.
I'm with GP3. I mean, I don't see anybody else competing for the division. I'm not very impressed with the Falcons. I guess they do have Kyle Pitts. So is he going to be that much of a big
I think
difference
the Falcons
maker?
Finish second in the division. If I had to, you know, make a bold prediction for this, I think it's the Falcons finishing second and they're competing for a wild card spot. I think Carolina is going to be really bad. And I don't think this is a team that when we were talking about the worst teams in the NFL, I think Carolina is going to be down there as one of the worst off teams. The Saints take a huge step back with Jameis at QB.
You think it'll be Jameis or you think it'll be Taysom?
Might be Taysom.
I think it'll be Jameis.
Sean Payton loves Taysom Hill.
He does.
So much. Like, Taysom Hill must have some sort of incriminating video of Sean Payton.
Yeah, I'd be hard-pressed to think that Jameis cracks it, but because he loves Taysom Hill so much.
But I love Jameis. LASIK Jameis, give me that all day. I like Jameis too, twice obviously. On Sunday.
FSU ties.
But I think Matt Ryan's got one last run in him. Their offense should be, you know, good enough. I know they lost Julio, but Kyle Pitts going in there. They still got Calvin Ridley. And then with Arthur Smith going in there, I mean, he saw what he did with the Titans offense. I don't know. I think they got one last run with Matt Ryan before, you know.
Yeah, I think the Falcons are about to win this division. I do. Matt Ryan is one of the more criminally underrated quarterbacks in the history of the NFL. The dude,
I don't think he gets the respect he deserves.
Incredible. And if he wins that Super Bowl, then, you know, maybe we have a different conversation and he gets the respect he deserves, but he hasn't up until this point. But you add Kyle Pitts, you still have Calvin Ridley, and you still have some other weapons, and Arthur Smith takes over. So I'm going to say the Falcons win that division, and Arthur Smith wins Coach of the Year in the NFL.
Oh, nice.
The Falcons were close, man. They were really close last year a lot of times.
I think they lost like 9 one-possession games or something like right. that, some absurd amount.
They lost a ton of one-possession games, and that was with poor coaching.
And then
insert
their defense
Dean
pretty,
Pease, insert
bad.
Arthur Smith,
well, you
insert a couple new additions to your roster, bada bing, bada boom, a weaker division, playoff team.
They had the onside kick game against Dallas where, you know, they decided not to recover the onside kick for some reason. Dallas got it and came back and won. Then you had the game also where Todd Gurley tried to take the knee on like the 1 yard line instead of scoring the touchdown. And I think that was against the Lions maybe. But ended up scoring, and then the Lions got the ball back and marched down the field, scored, and won.
They were inventing new ways to break their fans' hearts on a weekly basis. I mean, it was almost impressive, the creativity that went into the Falcons losing.
I think this is one of those cases where a new coaching staff could make a really big difference on that team, because I do think that they're good enough. I don't think they're good enough to win the division with the Buccaneers in there, but I think they're good enough to compete for a playoff spot.
Yeah, I think it's the Bucs division, just simply because all the starters, you know, and also coming off the Super Bowl championship run. Well, they'll have a target on their back, as every defending champ does, so that'll be tough. But also, I mean, Brady should be a lot more comfortable in his second season in this offense. He struggled a lot last year, too. I mean, it's new offense coming in, you know, new system under Bruce Arians. So with an entire offseason where he even has more rapport with his guys and – you know, better relationships across the board, I think he's going to be a lot tougher. So I think it's Tampa Bay. After that, it's tough between Saints and Falcons for me. You guys make some good points about the Falcons. New coach, kind of new energy, rejuvenation. If Jameis is the starter, I kind of like Jameis as the starter in New Orleans. And I think that they'll try to do what they did last year and just it'll be the AK show. He had one of the best seasons of his career, and they'll try to really control the offense through him. Utilize him a lot throughout the offense, you know, catching out of the backfield, lining him up in slot, really getting him a lot of touches. you need Alvin Kamara to get a lot of touches. I like the Saints, but I don't like him in second. I'll go with the Falcons. You guys made some good points that swayed me.
The Saints I kind of like, too, honestly.
I do. I like
it. I mean, they
if
still
James
do
is,
have
if
Michael.
James is the starter,
they still have
I
Michael
like
Thomas,
it.
And they still have AK. And they still
Michael
have
Thomas
and they
is
still have
miss
a solid
some time,
defense.
He is going to miss some time.
Yeah.
Because of that surgery. Also, when you say, like, when it comes to Jameis Winston or Taysom Hill, would you not just want to keep Taysom Hill in his kind of gimmicky role because he can do more for you than instead of just limiting him as the quarterback?
Maybe he wants to imitate what they're doing up in Baltimore.
I mean, yeah, with Lamar Jackson. I like the Saints in third, and then I will take the Panthers last.
I just
don't like Sam Darnold as a quarterback. Yeah. I think he's got a couple more seasons, and he's going to be a backup for the rest of his career, which is not a bad gig.
That's the best gig in sports.
Yeah, is the backup quarterback to carry the clipboard, wear the baseball cap, not get hit, and still get the money. He has Robbie Anderson, who played with him in New York, but I just don't see much. I mean, they rely so much on Christian McCaffrey, and they don't have a lot of other weapons at all.
I think both of you guys are overlooking the Panthers a little bit. I mean, we talked about how the Falcons lost a lot of one-possession games. Well, the Panthers also had a historically bad defense that, fortunately for them, the Titans were even worse, so they weren't the worst in the NFL, even though they were historically bad. They had injuries to their quarterback last year. They had injuries to Christian McCaffrey. They had injuries to their defense, and they lost 9 one-possession games. The only thing that's holding me back from thinking this Panthers team is a team that could compete for the playoffs is Sam Darnold. You know, people point to Ryan Tannehill and say, hey, you know, you deserve a chance to play for a real head coach. Ryan Tannehill got that chance and was good, but I wasn't a Darnold guy when he got drafted, not a Darnold guy now. This Panthers team's still just really intriguing, though. They drafted my favorite defensive player in the draft in J.C. Horn. They had a defense that's young that has some talent. Jeremy Chinn was excellent last year. And Robbie Anderson and DJ Moore is a pretty solid 1-2 at wide receiver. Not to mention they drafted Terrence Marshall Jr., who is another guy that I really liked from their draft. They had one of my favorite drafts of any team. So I'm still interested. I'm still intrigued by the Panthers. Final standings, though. Falcons. I have to say the Bucks. I'm not gonna put them any lower than that. Falcons, Bucks, Saints, Panthers, with everyone in that division besides the Buccaneers being a little better than we would think they might be.
GP?
I'm going Bucks in first, Falcons in second, Saints in third, Panthers in fourth, and Panthers, I don't think, get more than 4 wins on the year.
Yeah, it's going to be tough for them. Like Charlie said.
I'll make that bet with you.
What are the odds?
Friendly wager? Straight up?
Straight up.
That they'll win.
I'll take the over 4.5, so they have to win 5.
Over 4.5? What are we doing? Another breakfast bet, or are you wanting to put?
Yeah, well, sure, we can do a breakfast bet.
Okay, yeah, I'll take
but
the under.
Three breakfasts, because it's a long bet.
Three breakfasts?
Yeah, 3 breakfasts.
Breakfast.
Okay.
All right.
I can't really shake your hand because you're kind of far away from me.
You do the shake from over there. So you're saying 5 wins. You're saying under 4 wins. Under 5.
We made that bet, so it's official. But just think. The NFC's last place teams are pretty bad, and the Panthers play a last place schedule. So they're going to get to play, you know, the Lions and.
Don't think the Panthers are any good. I think they are one of the worst teams in that conference.
That's fair. I mean, I wish that I could defend this Panthers team more because they have so many things I like about them, but I just really don't like Sam Darnold. Really don't.
Me neither. 865-546-8200. 546-8200. This is our number if you want to chime in for last call. Talk Sports in the building. They'll have you covered from noon until 3, followed by the drive from 3 until 6, overtime 6 until 8. We'll do it all again tomorrow, starting at 7 a.m. with 3 and out. 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. That's how we do it here at Fan Run Radio with our local programming. Keep it locked here. We got last call on the other side. This is Fox Sports Knoxville. Gone too soon. Wait. We was just...
country past the city limit sign where there's a honky tonk near
Last call of the show. Great show here today. If you missed anything, hour number one is already up. You can get on the app, take it straight to the SoundCloud feed. Also, go ahead and download and subscribe in iTunes. That way you won't miss any of our podcasts, any of the local shows here. Hour number two will be up soon as we get off the air. Like I said, Talk Sports boys are in the vestibule. They're ready to go. But now it's time for a little If You Haven't Heard as we go ahead and finish the show out. Hey, Summer League ball started. Just to let you guys know.
Summer, I forgot about that.
Yeah, Summer League ball has started.
Did you see the monster oop dunk that Eves Pons had?
Eves, yeah. Eves had a Summer League dunk.
Really?
With the Grizz. Oh, yeah.
He's I didn't.
He's already catching lobs, baby.
I don't know anything that happened.
He had a good game, too.
Apparently.
He went 2 of 2 from 3, had 12 points.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, I was under a rock for every sports-related item of yesterday.
Yeah, breaking news that we were talking about earlier, MLB news. The Dodgers are set to acquire Cole Hamels. Keep it locked there. We'll continue to watch
that. That can't be good for Trevor Bauer. I mean, that's got to tell me that.
Oh, no.
Trevor Bauer is not
coming
done.
Back. He's done. He's done. He's everything but done.
With the acquisition of Cole Hamels, the Dodgers roster now includes 6 total MVP awards,
mm-hmm.
7 Cy Youngs, 8 if you want to count Bauer, and now 2 World Series MVPs.
Yeah. Nasty, dude. Nasty. To say that they're all in is an understatement.
I hope they lose in the first round.
They definitely want to go.
I hope the Brewers get them.
They want to go back-to-back. Also, Boeheim's Army won the basketball tournament 2021.
Yeah, I saw that, too.
No, if you guys missed that.
I quit paying attention after Tennessee got knocked out, but I'm just glad it wasn't
the
Purdue
when it
guys.
Was on, but I didn't try to.
We didn't really get to it today, but in NBA news, Carmelo Anthony is now a Laker. DeMar DeRozan is now a Chicago Bull. They beefed up their lineup with Lonzo Ball and now also DeMar DeRozan. And also All-Star Kemba Walker has been agreed to an OKC buyout, and now his next step is to join the New York Knicks. He played a lot of great games in Madison Square Garden as a college player, if anybody remembers that run. So that's pretty interesting.
That game-winning shot he hit. How can you forget that?
Step back, Kemba. So Kemba Walker will now be a New York Knick, homecoming with the Knicks as he played his basketball at UConn, and he gets to go back home to New York. I believe he's from New York as well. John Collins, he agreed to a 5-year, $125 million deal to stay with the Atlanta Hawks. They keep their title run in place. Or title hope run.
Kemba at Madison Square Garden is always
great.
Always scary.
Hassan Whiteside has agreed to a deal with the Utah Jazz. Markieff Morris is finalizing a deal to head to Charlie's Miami Heat. Kendrick Nunn, 2-year deal with the Los Angeles Lakers.
Did you say we got Marcus Morris?
Markieff.
Markieff.
Mm-hmm.
Did not know that. I missed that too.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of NBA stuff that's happening that's just quick. I mean, there's so many deals happened over the last couple days. I mean, the last 48 hours, really. The Lakers now, Carmelo Anthony, like I said, joining LeBron James nearly 2 decades after they shared the stage at the 2003 NBA draft.
If you haven't heard, Rihanna is now a billionaire.
She is.
Shout out to her.
Stephen Curry, he agreed to a 4-year, $215 million contract extension. He is the only player in NBA history with 2 $200-plus million max extensions. Only player.
Oh, well, I mean, in today's NBA, you don't see guys taking the 4-year deals anymore because they just want the they want the leverage of being able to leave.
Exactly.
But if you haven't heard, the Atlanta Braves have set the MLB record for the most consecutive games played without winning or losing back-to-back games.
Hey!
It's now, I believe, at 19 games in a row.
Go Braves.
Basically, since the All-Star break, they have alternated loss, win, loss, win, loss, win every single game. And they won last night, so if you're a betting man, take the Cardinals' money line tonight.
I'll take it. Take the Cardinals because they're going to lose tonight.
Yeah, because Braves won yesterday, so if the trend continues, they're going to lose tonight, win tomorrow.
Put the house on it, baby.
They've had 10 chances to get to 500 since the All-Star break and have lost every single time.
Wow. With the signing of Melo, the Lakers have added six players 32 or older to their roster this offseason. If all six play at least one game, that would be the most in a single offseason in NBA history. Nasty. You got some old guys out there, but not really that old. Like, a lot of these guys have been stars in the league, so it's tough to think that they won't be able to make an impressive title run. But we'll see. Who's going to play all those back-to-backs? you already got guys sitting out back-to-back.
The Lakers on the back-to-back is going to be the best bet in basketball next year.
You probably can go ahead and fade them on a lot of the back-to-backs in the upcoming season. Before we get out of here, National Calendar Day. It's National Chocolate Chip Cookie Day.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
I love chocolate chip cookies.
I do, too. They're right up there with milk. S'mores and a Chili's molten chocolate cake.
Always cold
glass
of milk.
As the three best desserts. Oh, a cold gallon of milk.
I feel like
I could down a half gallon
if I'm drinking
cookies.
When people just eat cookies, like, dry without milk, I feel like that's
like. Like, I could easily down a half gallon of milk. Yeah. With
sometimes I don't
cookies.
Even just dip the cookie. I just put
I don't
a bunch
dip
in there,
them.
And I take a spoon and spoon them out and eat them.
I don't like to dip. I just eat cookie,
and then
chug milk,
milk,
chug
okay.
milk, chug milk, eat cookie,
I like them to
chug
get soggy.
Milk.
It's also National Coast Guard Day. Shout out to the Coast Guard. Boys are loud out there. Talk Sports is ready to go. They got you covered here.
Fired
until
up.
3. We'll have some more notes and news on fall practice tomorrow. Hopefully we'll be able to get maybe Rick Butler on here to talk about the Vols kicking off fall camp or maybe another local media member. But at the same time, we'll talk about that tomorrow. We'll continue our football preview. We'll have the double dip tomorrow as we get ready for the Hall of Fame game. Hey, guys, less than 24 hours, or not exactly. Exactly. A little bit over 24 hours, excuse me. I can't do
math. You know.
It's tough. A little bit over 24 hours until we do have NFL football tomorrow. Great show today for Charlie. For GP3, I am Chance. We'll do it all again tomorrow right here on The Blitz.